With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
Hi, guys. A quick update before you listen to this incredible episode with Tracy Morrissey. Yes, I did say incredible, and I'm the host of the show. Just a quick update. When we recorded this episode early Friday afternoon, we were reacting to breaking news that reportedly Tiffany Moon was quitting Dallas, as many people gleaned from a change in her Instagram bio, which changed back immediately before we started recording. Tiffany has since put out a statement referencing the racist attacks coming her way by the Westcott family. It says in part, "The insinuations the Westcotts made in those tweets are reckless, defamatory, and appalling. Dr. Moon is a professional in every sense of the word and is deserving of the excellent reputation that she's earned as a physician and as a hardworking mother. These attacks on her character will not be tolerated. The Westcotts would be well advised to keep mentions of Dr. Moon out of their social media feeds." That was a statement given to Variety reporter Kate Arthur in an article I've posted on my Instagram at Dame Galley. At the end of the article, Kate Arthur references that Tiffany did not was not interviewed for the piece, but a source close to her says she has not quit The Real Housewives of Dallas. So when you listen to this episode, we were under the assumption, as many people were in the Bravo community, that Tiffany was leaving the show. It may not actually be a full departure, certainly not yet. So something to keep in mind as you listen to this episode, and we hope you enjoy it. Have fun. I care about your opinion as much as I wash my hair almost never.
If you're gonna blow smoke up my ass, make sure you buy the pipe from me first.
Oh my God, you guys, I love a woman who's selling me her smarts and humor and items available for purchase all in one tagline. You guys, it's episode 219-ish. I think it actually might be 218 or 219 or 246, whatever the fuck it is. It is going to be great. It's Andy's Girls, and I'm so excited to be joined by one of my favorite guests. You know her as writer, producer, host of the podcast Pot Psychology, and she's also the owner of the recently launched store, PipeDreams.fun, which includes a sweatshirt that I need to purchase post-haste. That, can you please tell me? You guys, it's Tracy Morsey. Tracy Morsey, sell me apparel. How are you? How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. You know, it's beautiful out. I exercised. I feel good. Getting out there.
I've had like one of those weeks where you just need to like lay in bed for 6 days and wonder where your life has gone terribly awry. But I had a friend yesterday who was like, let's go for a walk. He's like the guy that we tell each other, like, let's go for a walk. And we go for a walk. And I was like, honestly, it's so pretty out. I think that's something that I am. But I just don't feel like I am able to take in the gorgeous weather. Like, I'm not in a spiritual place where I can take that in. But I am, as soon as we're recording this Friday afternoonish, I'm going to go for a nice fucking walk.
It's really nice out.
It's so nice. And I'm at both ends of the spectrum. Like, I don't moderate anything in my life. Opinions, steps, literally anything. So I'm that person who will walk 10 or 11 miles a day, or I will literally not move for a year. Like, yeah. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, my steps in my health app are very varied. It's like all over the place. Sometimes they're like 19,000, and then sometimes it's like, you did 900 steps today.
Oh yeah, no, I have done 78 step days after a 30,000 step day. Like, it truly doesn't make any sense, but this is our current world. So it's like gorgeous in New York. So I guess I'll get my steps in and then I'll post it on social and be like, look, guys, I got my steps in. That's how I keep myself accountable sometimes, is my IG stories.
Social media. Yeah.
It's terrible, but it happens. It happens. And then it's like, it's not that I'm jealous when people go on walks. I used to be, but now I'm just like, oh, that looks nice for them. Like, they're having a nice,
I love that for
journey.
Them.
I totally love that walk for them. So how are you doing? When was the last time you were on Andy's Scrolls? I feel like it was yesterday, but it could have been 8 months ago. It's one of the two.
It was definitely after I had COVID. Definitely in 2021 at some point.
Have you gotten vaccinated?
No, not yet. I still have antibodies, so I'm straight right now. Because I just, like, every time I'm like, oh, should I go do it today? And then I'm like, I know that I'm going to need a day off, like, the next day. Like, and I just can't afford to take a day off right now or to, like, not be, like, bringing my A game each day. So I'll get around to it. I'll probably do it within the next week or two.
I mean, it is also, you know, it's like, go at your own pace too. You know, you live a safe life, which is like a fun way that we talk about our lives right now when it comes to safety during COVID, which is just like COVID safety on top of the 900 myriad other ways that women need to attempt to keep themselves safe or attempt to stay safe, however you look at it. So, I mean, we were talking for a hot second before recording about what a wild fucking week this
Housewives
has been.
Week, yeah.
Right? Where it's like not so much the content that we're watching on TV, but the stuff that feels like its own Housewives TV arc online.
It'll suck if they don't cover it.
I mean, let's start with that. Tiffany changed her bios this morning on Instagram and Twitter to reflect what many people took as the strongest possible indicator that she has left the show. She changed her bio to previous cast member of hashtag RHOD on Instagram, for example. A short time after the Bravosphere lost its collective minds, my mind included, she changed it back to cast member of RHOD season 5. But a lot of people felt like, not the damage has been done, but the news is out. We know what this means. We don't know why she updated her bio again. My guess is that, like, ring, ring, someone called from Bravo HQ and was like, you need to give 2 weeks notice. Like, we're not done with you quite yet.
I have a feeling they backed up the truck for her. I bet they came back with an awesome offer, because it would be awful if they lost her as a cast member over more racism. You know, they already had an Asian racism fucking scandal. Now we're in like the midst of another one that's being like televised, you know, and not just televised, and it's all over social media. It's like they can't afford that. And she's a good cast member. She's mm-hmm. like she has the money, she has the wit, you know. She's a lot wittier than every single person on that cast. So she's a little bit out of her league in those terms, you know?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, Page Six just within the last hour came out with their confirmation that she has quit. So it does appear that this is some sort of permanent decision the network will handle in some sort of probably terrible way. But the thing with Tiffany is, like, she was never allowed to be a housewife. She was always a representative in all the worst, most uncomfortable ways. And it was such a cringe fest for so many people to watch her try to navigate this and run into so many boundaries that the cast seemingly strategically put in her way, where, like, she was never really able to have fun on a franchise that supporters would call, in some ways, I don't know, I guess some sort of fun, where these women pretended that they were or were genuinely interested in fun. It always felt like their fun, quote unquote, came at the disservice of essentially enabling and allowing a woman of color to have and be in charge of her own mind. And that's just, like, it's not pleasant. And if you've been following, you can go to my social on Instagram, because there are a couple strongly worded posts. But if you've been following what's been going on online this week, Cam put out a podcast that she and Carrie have both been heavily promoting, where they call Tiffany a cyber bully. Cam's husband, Cam's brother-in-law, I guess, is incredibly problematic.
God. He's awful. And his name is Chart. That's so gross.
I know. Listen, his mom probably knew. His mom looked at him and was like, yep, this is unfortunately a Chart. But I try to stay away from the brother-in-law stuff, because it's someone who's trolling and looking for attention, mm-hmm. and he's not on TV. And mm-hmm. there is an element of, like, I don't necessarily... this person is just looking genuinely to troll, and he's not a husband or related to a cast member in the sense that, like, we see that relation mm-hmm. play out on television. So I feel like I have no choice to kind of put that aside a little bit when it comes to, like, my focus with talking about these women or even interacting with them online. But Chard has said some stuff. He tagged Tiffany's hospital in some tweets and, not just implied, but essentially stated that she was treating her patients while drunk. Because what? How? What?
He's the exact kind of person, by the way, who I did a quick perusal of his Twitter account, who is so anti-cancel culture and is like, cancel culture needs to stop. And then he's like fucking tagging someone's work, getting her, and then celebrating Chrissy Teigen's line getting pulled from Target. He's like that. He's not against cancel culture. He's just against other people that don't believe the same things that he believes.
Yeah, he's against selective accountability. And when
there
it
you
comes
go.
To
That's
his...
a great way to say it.
Thank you. Thank yeah, my brain's working a little bit. I guess it's because I haven't moved in so long. It's raring to go. But yeah, Court, then Cam's husband, who has appeared on television, put out a couple tweets that are real bad, including one that references the Holocaust to support his narrative that he believes that Tiffany Moon is racist against white people, which is so problematic. And honestly, if you understand why it is, good for you. And if you don't, I actually don't know how I can help you in your endeavor called life. I mean, it's so easily understood that a white person.
They also said she was being racist towards Asians because she did an impersonation of her own mother. So
they did. Yeah, they're pulling at all avenues of how can I use my power and privilege as a white person to shame you for essentially not also being white. That is the end game that I see here playing out. And it's gross. And it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, why are we talking about it through the lens of housewives? Because this has become so ugly and gross online that it is a distraction from talking about the show. And it also leaves some content creators, myself included, uncomfortable about amplifying Dallas in any way, because it feels like these women said in a performative way at the end of the reunion that one of their big regrets was not speaking out when racism was lobbed Tiffany's way, or when they felt like they were silencing her from responding, or whatever their narrative was. It feels like, well, this is a perfect example. You know, the reunion part two went up this week, as did these terrible, ugly tweets. And what are you guys saying? Nothing. And not only are you not saying
anything. Have they not said anything?
None of them have said anything. And, you know, Cam and Carrie have doubled down by saying that Tiffany is a cyber bully, and that Tiffany is cyber bullying.
She's a cyber bully because she's like smarter and gets better digs. Like Cameron went online and fucking compared her food to dog food, like compared like a cultural like Chinese
significant dish.
Yeah, Chinese food to dog food, and that her dog food was better. Like, how is that not cyberbullying? She's using social media to insult someone, you know?
Yeah, these women all seem to take a lot of offense when they use term bullying is used. Oh my God, is that Cam outside? Yeah, I think that is a huge part of it. Like, Tiffany is very smart, very quick. Tiffany definitely, P.S., is like engaging with them online. Tiffany has no problem defending herself, but there comes a point when someone is repeatedly accusing you, the only woman of color currently on the franchise, as being racist against white people, and is essentially inspiring, shall we say, their hordes of followers to follow suit. I mean, why is nobody saying anything? And I feel like, why is the network not getting involved? They do that all the time with casts. They do that literally all the time with casts when stuff gets too heated, and they're not doing anything now.
They might be doing something behind the scenes. I don't know. I mean, I'm not counting Tiffany out yet 100% because this happens a lot where they change the things in their bio and then it goes back. Like, we've seen that with Tamara. We've seen it with Kelly Dodd. We've seen it with other people, and then they end up coming back. So I'm not like totally counting Tiffany out. I bet that they're scrambling behind the scenes trying to deal with stuff. And someone has been having a tough week at work.
I have to say that sources have told me that there has been radio silence, that they didn't reach out to Tiffany at all. They haven't done anything behind the scenes. Yeah.
Even any of the producers?
Not anybody in a position of power willing to in any way make this somehow better. Or really, to me, there's a difference between somebody sliding into your DM. Not to say that any of this has happened, but there's a difference between like Joe, producer, sliding into my DMs being like, oh my God, this is so terrible, and somebody contacting Cam and saying this is not okay.
Has no one contacted Cameron?
From what I have heard, there has been no interaction but that could be completely wrong. And I don't know. But
I mean, Court deleted his Twitter.
Court either deleted his Twitter or they suspended his Twitter temporarily because of a lot of action complaints. That was like out of form compared to his following, which I guess happens sometimes if like an account is being swarmed with action that feels like it could be some sort of like spammy thing. Sometimes allegedly they suspend it for a hot second, or he could have deleted it. I know that he's on Instagram, but it's a private account, so I don't know.
I have a feeling he deleted it because he was understanding of the fact he's understanding of optics, at least, because when he found out from Cameron that Leanne had said some racist shit in Thailand, he was like, oh, you have to distance yourself from that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he
doubled down on this.
I know, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, after a while he was like, oh, this has gotten out of hand, and then just shut it down. Like, because he has, like, his business and all this other stuff, and he must have, you know, because the reaction was so strong. So he probably was like, oh, yeah. I don't know. That's what I'm getting. Like, it doesn't say that the account was suspended, right? It just says this user does not exist.
No, yeah. So it could have been him taking it down. Yeah. It's wild to me because this was actually referenced during the reunion. A large part of the reunion was about the ways that these women have tried to hurt each other online, the digs, the jokes, whatever else, and trying to understand how much is too much, like when you go too far, and understanding that different people have different boundaries. And it's just so kind of interesting to me in the sense that Tiffany does literally say at one point, like, you are more concerned about being called a racist than your racist behavior. And that to me is emblematic of the ways that the Westcotts have behaved online, adding in that they have become increasingly combative with Tiffany and have behaved in ways that kind of tell me, like, well, at least now I know who was helping Cam strategize. Like, this makes sense to me. Court feels the way that his wife does. I think he was the one coaching her behind the scenes.
Yeah,
and that's why it came off so poorly to so many people, because it is that kind of tweet of trying to tell Tiffany that she thinks similarly to Nazis. Like, what?
Yeah,
it's wild.
So stupid. The thing is, though, is that all of this is real and it's all common. And so I do think that it's good that this is like playing out. Obviously, it's not good that like they're racist or whatever. But this is the kind of stuff that I'm sure that Tiffany has dealt with in the past, that a lot of people of color have to deal with. So, you know, I understand if she wouldn't want to like continue on the show just because it's too emotionally difficult to have to like deal with that in your life. She has a full-time job and a family, but and she doesn't need the money. But I do think that this is why they need diversity in the casts, because, you know, seeing what this looks like, I think, is important.
I think it's also why accountability needs to happen, especially when we get into these really cringy areas, why there needs to be strong allies in the cast, somebody using their voice who isn't more scared of saying the wrong thing than they are doing the right thing. And, you know, I posted about it and there was a big reaction immediately when Tiffany initially changed the language in her Instagram bio. And somebody commented and said, the sad thing is this is a realistic depiction of what happens in everyday lives for minorities, especially women of color. They are continued to get pushed and bullied out of spaces. They can be the smartest, kindest, best person to walk into a room and a situation with critical insight that will bring value, and it will still not be good enough, still not accepted, still not protected.
Yeah. I mean, are we like surprised that these women in Dallas are a bunch of racists? Because like that just, I'm not surprised at all. I would have guessed that even before Leanne or before Brandy or before any of it, you know, that just me, that's, I guess that's me stereotyping, but like a bunch of rich ladies from Dallas, I am not shocked that they are not racially sensitive.
I am annoyed is my not counter, but I think my response is that I'm annoyed because so many of us remember their horror, which was slightly performative in the sense that everybody was okay staying quiet after Leanne's repeated racist behavior toward Carrie until they found out it was going to be used for plot. And then they all like did the absolute most to talk about how horrifying it is, blah, blah, blah. So I think having that in the recent Rearview Mirror plus Brandy's video would make me think that these women would attempt to, if it's all about optics, I would genuinely, I am surprised that nobody is in any way interested in the optics of what it looks like when an Asian woman in her first season, mere months after a viral video of a current cast member goes viral because of, you know, this racist video against Asian people. I am surprised that truly nobody thought at any point, wow, this isn't great, to stay quiet, and that they came to the realization on an episode that aired hours before or after yet another round of attacks against Tiffany. And none of them are using their voice. Like, I don't know. I haven't been following Deandra's social.
I just look. She's not.
So I keep her out of this in my head. But for the rest of the cast, it's just so deeply gross. Also, that reunion was tragically bad.
The reunion?
So I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what happens after this.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they should resolve it just to, like, let it. The thing is that to just. Like, the answer, I don't think the answer is to just act like it didn't happen and, or, like, just throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. Like, sort of what it seems like what they did with Vanderpump Rules. Instead of addressing it or discussing it or, you know, making it part of a conversation, making it a plot, I think it's an interesting storyline. But that seems to be, like, what Bravo's approach to this stuff is. I mean, this stuff, it's going to be messy. It's going to be like, as they've tried. I mean, I'm sure they're probably in their minds are like, this is why the shows were segregated before. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll watch what happens.
I think a large part of it, too, is like as when and as racist behavior is seen, I think what a lot of people are upset about is not necessarily the initial behavior itself, which is, of course, upsetting. It is the fact that there has never been a counter. And that is something that the Bravo universe is trying to put out there as like a PR mechanism that like, yes, this is something they're interested in. But it feels like the real strong counters when it comes to any kind of action, racist or otherwise, are really used in a performative way against Black housewives when they do wrong. I mean, it went a little bit viral this week that it looks like, you know, Bravo has edited out Kenya's quote unquote costume, which was appropriating culture from the Halloween episode of this most recent season of Atlanta. And it comes on the heels of their staying silent about anything that any non-Black housewife does wrong. And it's just really unfortunate that they seem very invested in publicly and from a content perspective holding Black housewives accountable and don't use that same energy with everyone else.
Well, they got rid of Leanne. And then, you know, they did have the discussions with Brandy. I mean, Brandy, that was rough at the reunion. You know, first of all, she was backlit. Her makeup and hair looked like
terribly.
Shit. And then why didn't they tell her to put the lamp behind the camera?
And why did they have a fucking ring light? Why?
They couldn't. What? Yeah, they couldn't just run down to like Best Buy and grab a ring light real quick.
Leave it outside her door.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So there was that. And then, you know. Then, you know, the revelation that she drank well into her second trimester, drank heavily, was taking some kind of pills, you know, when she had that like pill meltdown. And then and then the thing with like the husband's video that, you know, she definitely didn't explain away, like she like broke down about it. And then I felt really bad for her when she said that someone sent it to her daughter's private.
Oh, my God.
Instagram
terrible.
Account.
That's
yeah.
So shitty. That's so shitty.
I'm guessing that that's the reason why she announced that she wasn't going to be doing the show anymore.
That's why who announced?
Brandy. She announced
Brandy announced she wasn't doing the show anymore?
Yeah, she announced it back in like December, I think, before she even gave birth.
Oh, so she was saying like, Jesus, be my, I'm not in any way making fun of her religious choices, but she did have a post where she was talking about holding close to her faith, I think, was the end of the game. But she left the door open. It wasn't a hard, a lot of people took it, myself included, initially as being like, oh, she's leaving. But it, sources close to her said later that she hadn't made a definite decision. And Carrie, I think, was one of the people who commented on the post who was like, I support you, whatever decision you make, because I don't think a decision has been made. But I do not think she's coming back. I don't. I think she's like, game over. This isn't it for me. I'm going through too much. And I don't think she should come back. I don't think it's actually good for her. I don't think it's good for her or, you know, us.
Yeah. No, it seemed tough. Like she was peacing out.
The language sounds like she was, and then she had sources say after that it wasn't a hard and fast exit, that it was her sort of like gingerly opening the door, but she was doing it, the timing of that, timed with the most weird eps when it came to her behavior with Tiffany. It was like very closely aligned together, so there is the way to say you're tapping out so that you possibly can diminish some of the responses of like people trying to hold you accountable for what's going on with certain episodes. And she was getting ahead of that. And now here we are. I mean, like, who even, what's left of Dallas now? Like, what's left?
I still enjoy Deandra and her cast of characters that she brings around, her mother, her weave slash shaman guy. I think that, like, I don't know. I still think that, I mean, they need to do some, like, real recasting. I think that Deandra is worth keeping around because she does seem to have a lot of good connections and stuff. And I enjoyed this season for the most part. I thought it was...
Did you?
I did. I thought it was, like, kind of fun. I mean... Oh, shit. Sorry.
Just oh, my
the chair.
God.
Sorry. It's okay. I thought that, like, there was always something to talk about. Like, you know, when, like, Brandy puked from the crickets on the pizza, and when Carrie threw, you know, Tiffany into the pool and she couldn't swim, and just when, and Tiffany having to leave early, and Brandy crying about stuff. Like, there was always some kind of drama that kept me engaged. You know, Carrie's drinking, which I'm excited to see, you know, play out. So, I don't know. I thought it was okay. I don't, like, here's the thing. I don't expect a lot from these women. I know they're all bad people. You know, like, they're not, they're, you don't get, like, super rich like that by being, like, a great person, you know, unless you're, like, Oprah. Mm. You either, you know, like, I mean, look at, like, Mama D. She, like, admitted that she, like, hunted a man with money and went out and got him because of his money. Like, and I think that that's, you know, probably what a lot of women do in those situations, that like marry into wealth like that. Like, I don't think that they're accidentally marrying into wealth. Who the fuck would marry Court? Why would a 6 foot tall woman marry that little troll?
She is gorgeous.
If Kim not for his
beautiful.
Money.
Huh? I will give her that. She is beautiful. I mean,
she's
like,
so ugly on the inside. I dislike it. And I also hate pink. Is like, you know,
oh,
just
wow. We're gonna battle.
Covering yourself with pink. Pink is an identity for her. It, like, it's just so annoying. Like, women who do that, who are just like, pink's my favorite color and everything is pink and blah, 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 blah. It's like, that's not a personality type. Like, that's not a quality. That's just, you know, your favorite color.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't. If pink is your identity, and she literally was posting, while all this stuff is going down with Court on Twitter, she was posting to Instagram stories photos of her posing with her dog, trying on, like, diamond collars in a pink hoodie that said pink is punk. And while I do agree that pink is not the only identity, as a pink apologist, I love the color. I think it is a beautiful color. It's so feminine. It's so fun. It's so pretty. I have so many dresses and so many shoes and so many different shades of pink. I think pink is powerful and strong and, like, justice for pink, justice for the color pink, which I think is wonderful and perfect this time of year from what I've heard from people who've been outside. But yeah, I think if pink is your primary, here is the problem. And I got into this. I have literally gotten into actual fights with people I know in my real life about Cam today. About Pink, about Cam, whatever. Maybe not about Pink, but about Cam or whatever. Today I'm like coming in hot. It is that time of the month for me to drag someone in text messages unnecessarily and then regret it 3 hours later. But the thing with Cam is that Cam presented herself. This is what a friend said to me, and I'm going to try to paraphrase him terribly because he said it in a much better way. Cam is presenting herself as this woman who's like bubbles and champagne, she, pink, fun, feminine, yada, yada. And now we understand now the cost of that pink lifestyle. We understand now what's bubbling underneath. And what she could have done after the reunion was shut down the other stuff, knowing the reaction that she got from some people. A lot of people supported her, but from some parts of the viewership who were upset about her, you know, calling Tiffany a racist or whatever. She could have shut it down and focused and redirected back on her caricature presentation of her life, but she didn't. So now she's trying to do both. She's trying to say, oh, I don't know, I live in my little bubble of pink and puppies and pretty, and that is all of who I am. And then also do and act in these ways that are a distraction and the biggest way to burst that bubble. She's trying to now navigate both, which for a lot of people will forever change their understanding of her pink world, because now we are seeing a part of her which is not only not, it's not about being like, Cam, show us the human. It's like, Cam, why aren't you more humane?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that I always kind of thought she sucked and she always talked too slow for me.
I do like when she does the nodding thing where she's like hearing words for the first time and she's ingesting them in her brain. Or she's just like, you know, I had in school, which I really disregarded when it came to where I sat in class, but I always kept it in mind when I went to spin, of like sitting in the tea of learning where you should like sit in, there's some testing or whatever that shows that, you know, if you sit in the front row or the of a, any classroom or the middle row, that's like the people that get the best test scores, because it like has to do with how you're like looking at the board or whatever the fuck. And it feels like Cam sometimes thinks that nodding her head gives off the reflection of learning, where she's just like, she's sitting here, she's nodding, she sometimes closes her eyes, she's understanding what's going on because she's shifting her body accordingly. And if she does get it, that's almost kind of worse.
Yeah, no, she doesn't get it. I don't think she gets it. I think that she's like does this thing where that Bethany pointed this out before, that you can't play dumb and smart at the same time. You can't play smart and stupid at the same time. So she kind of tries to do that. Erica Jane tries to do that. And I actually like really dislike that. I dislike it because I don't like when women pretend to be stupid. And I feel like she probably does that. I mean, does that a lot. Like, that's probably a part of the dance in her relationship, to like make him feel like a bigger guy because he's so little. To because if she like also that's I think that's why she's like never seen an electricity bill. But she's just like, oh, I'm so stupid. Like, you handle that. I'm not good with numbers. I like super dislike those kind of women.
I see like a place for it. I do feel like that gets into like gender roles and marital roles in a way that I actually find interesting. I don't know what that says about me. I think it's like a curiosity where I'm like, let me see that play out, because it's not that I wouldn't do it morally. I actually, anything is possible at this point in time. It's that I am too quick, and I don't mean that in a positive way. Like, I would be too reactive to do that. Like, I wouldn't be able to play that part because I couldn't stop myself from saying something.
Exactly.
And that doesn't make me a better person or better partner. It just means that, like, my foot is perpetually put in. It's why I have so many shoes. It's, like, always in my mouth. So I don't know that that would be my
future. You're just independent and opinionated, so...
Yeah, I mean, but
I mean,
I'm
we
okay
saw
with-
Kenya try to do that, just that, and she couldn't do it. So, you know, it's just if you're an intelligent enough woman in 2021, it is like really difficult. For me, it would be absolutely impossible to just, just let someone take the wheel in my life, you know?
And yet I say that as someone who I don't know that I'd love to try. I don't know that it would be a good fit for me, but I do think that she has every right to make that choice. If that somehow works for her, and it's like, also, what does working mean? If she wants to make that choice in her relationship and that is something that she is comfortable with and she's getting something out of it and she gets to define what the value of that is, it could be financial, it could be from a quote unquote society perspective, that thing that they love to say, season one and a half of Dallas, then there's something that she's getting out of it. The flip side of it is, of course, which is to me an interesting transition to the other news of this week. What does it mean when you go from very traditional relationships, which don't end well, to chapters and periods of your time where you seem very interested in being an independent person and looking for a partner, and then are seen by many people as making a choice to regress, which is, to me, what's happening with Portia and Simon. I got into this at length on Clubhouse, and I don't know if I spoke in a way that made as much sense as it did. Like, that's like literally, I was like, in my head, I was like, let me tell you the thesis. And then like the output was, is what that was for like 3 hours. But Portia seems like somebody who started off as a very traditional housewife and a very performative version of being a traditional housewife on Real Housewives. And then had this, you know, couple years of really being an independent woman or looking to be with someone who felt like more like a partner or something else. And then the announcement came out because of a post she put up on social media that she's actually engaged to Fallon's estranged, soon-to-be-divorced husband, Simon. This older guy with a lot of money who knows if this is in any way true, but reportedly, you know, is interested in her moving out of the country with PJ or something, and they're engaged. And Portia's now engaged to this guy who we barely know, but does appear to be somebody who is looking for a very conservative style role in his wife. How do we feel? Do you agree? P.S. That could be, I could be full of shit. Please tell me to go fuck myself.
I'm just wondering if she just fell really, really hard in love with this person.
Totally possible.
Because, you know, when I got engaged and got married, I got engaged like literally after like 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks of dating someone. And then we got married like a year later. So, and now we're divorced. So, but we lasted a while.
How long were you guys together?
7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I meet a kid.
That's a huge amount of time.
And I was in it forever. He's, you know, but he, was cheating and, you know, just like that. So that was to me untenable. But, there was just nothing that could stop me. I felt instantly in love, and so did he. And there was just like no standing in the way of that. And, you know, we just did it. We just got married. There was like no stopping it. So I actually really understand that like timeline of, but we didn't tell people about it for a long time because we knew it was crazy. So we kind of kept the lid on it for like 2 months or something and it still sounds crazy at 2 months. I would never do it again. I would never, you know, agree to spend the rest of my life with someone I just met ever again, because that has a huge set of problems with it and it, you know, probably won't work out. But I understand that you can fall that hard in love with someone. So, I mean, maybe she just fell really, really hard in love with him.
I mean, I was having this conversation with people on Clubhouse yesterday when it came to, like, why is Portia making these choices where she seemingly gets into relationships where she falls hard and fast, and this happens repeatedly. It happened with Dennis. It happened with relationships prior with the athlete who she threw, like, a party for or something, and it went a little awry because he was like, why are you doing all of this for me so soon? Mm-hmm. When she has had a number of relationships, and there was a conversation, almost a thesis of, is it because she is interested in chaos? And my counter to that was, I don't actually think that's what it is. I think the result sometimes is chaos, but I think she is really interested in a connection with someone, in making a connection and making the stability happen in her life pursuant to her romantic relationship. And, like, this is someone like Dennis, like whomever she dated before, where she meets them and it's like an instant yada yada, and she goes straight to the end. And there, you don't need to, like, figure out who this person is or get to know them. She's going straight to the, like, okay, you're my forever. And I do wonder if that has something to do with the ways that she looks at relationships and looks at her partner, that other person, as providing for her safety and security, which doesn't need to be related to his financial worth, you know?
Does she have daddy issues? What do we know about her dad?
Such a good question. He did die. Unfortunately, he passed away of problems related to treatment for leukemia when she was 17 and Lauren was 10. She's talked in recent.
Lauren is 7 years younger than she is. They seem like they're like, wow. They seem like they're the same age-ish.
Yeah. And she's talked in either on episodes of Housewives, but I was doing some research yesterday. And she's talked about the fact that because of her father's, first off, because her parents had split up, and because of her father's and having to kind of juggle, you know, going between both worlds, her mom's house and her father's house, navigating that as a child of divorce, and then also losing her father at such a young age and also such a formative age, mm-hmm. to be a 17-year-old girl and dealing with this kind of tremendous loss. She discussed the fact that she found herself in a lot of, or in some abusive relationships, because she didn't know what love looked like, or what she deserved in a partner. So she would date these people who were like skeletons of a boyfriend, when this person sure is providing some sort of affection, but it's coming at a real significant and dangerous cost. And I wonder about that in the sense of being with someone who's immediately like, you're the one, and not knowing each other. That can sometimes work out. You hear of these stories of people who meet and they get engaged in 20 minutes and they're married for 10 years and 15. You know, like, it's, you hear about some success stories, but with Portia, it does feel like a pattern. And it's, to me, of some concern.
Yeah. I mean, she'll probably be okay. How old is she? Like 37 or something?
Yeah, like mid-30s. Very, very young.
She also might feel like she has to move quickly to have another kid, you know.
That could be it.
That plays a role in things. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But she seems happy.
She does seem happy. The other part of this that just makes me nervous, because I reacted to this with,
but she,
like,
was she actually really friends with Fallon, or is it, that's just like a set up thing on the show?
Well, I mean, she's definitely implied by implied, I mean, like, explicitly stated that she and Fallon aren't friends. It was used. I mean, a lot of people pointed to and shared the lower third of Fallon's entrance to Housewives this season. And, like, it says Portia's friend.
Yeah, but a lot of that is bullshit.
Yeah. Right. A lot of it's like, we know each other because production was like, oh, this person is joining. Let's go to coffee or lunch.
Yeah.
With Fallon, it appears that really the close friendship or real friendship was between Dennis and Simon. And Portia and Fallon probably knew of each other, but they were really connected because their partners, significant others, were friends or close friends or whatever.
Yeah. Has Dennis said anything about this?
I don't know. Dennis commented with approval on a post that Portia put up on Instagram of her in the center with Simon on one side and Dennis on the other. And Portia has also said that they're very focused on co-parenting and it seems to be very friendly in that way. And I actually think like kudos to both of them. I really do believe that they are so focused on PJ having a great life and with parents who have a healthy relationship with each other. And I think that's commendable regardless of what happens. The other part of this that's like just a little concerning to me is I'm just nervous from like the traditional roles of it all, what this will mean for Portia's work. Like, I'm hopeful that she stays on Atlanta, or if she leaves Atlanta, that that's a choice that she is making and not something that her partner is suggesting she do.
I don't think she's leaving Atlanta.
I don't think she's leaving Atlanta. There are rumors, though, that she is, but those rumors exist at all times when, we're bored or something.
She got a 3 special deal before.
Yep.
And did they do the 3rd special of those specials?
So she had the baby special when she was pregnant, and then they just announced this week that she has another 3-part special that's going to be about her life, which is incredible, and a lot of people are hoping it will include all of what's going on now with, you know, Dennis and Simon. I just don't want her to my only nervousness for Portia is like, she's so successful, she's doing so much, she's coming out with a book, she's got Chat Room, she's got Atlanta, she's got all of her work with social justice. I just don't want her to be in a position where she's with a partner who like doesn't want her to work, and I don't know that that's what he wants. I have no idea. I don't know this person from Adam. I only know what it was that we saw with Fallon, which appeared to be a very traditional relationship, but that might have been what Fallon was interested in too. She may have been interested in traditional roles and that worked for the two of them. And he's choosing someone like Portia. Yeah, tell me.
I feel like the danger of like someone like the distrust for me would be in a man like that, like gravitating so quickly to a Real Housewife and then like wanting to lock that down, is that he's not going to want her to stop working. He's going to want to use that platform to his advantage in some way, you know? So I think that like, you know, the danger is like him being like attracted to the fame, you know, or something like that.
He did put up an Instagram post, I think yesterday, where he offered $50,000 and also $25,000 to anyone who was able to give proof that he had cheated on Fallon between a set period of time, which, listen, if I had any receipts or a receipt, listen, Simon, give me $1,000 just for saying your name, number one. Surely we can monetize. But also, that made me feel it was like such a throwing money in the air that I'm like, oh, this feels a little gross to me. It feels a little bit like a guy who's very ready for the life.
What is his business?
He has many businesses. I think something has to do with oil. Oh. Then he has a bunch of smaller businesses. He's an entrepreneur.
More money than hot dogs then.
Allegedly a significant amount of money, definitely more money than Hot Dog. Okay. Who knows how much money Hot Dog has? And also, I do not believe any site that appears to be celebrity net worth or spiritually celebrity net worth. So there's a number of $40 million that I've never seen based on any actual data.
Yeah,
so
none of that's real.
None of that's real. I don't know. I mean, do you think that Portia will definitely be back?
Yes. I do. I think contractually she probably has to be. I bet that the three special deal or whatever was to like, she probably has to do at least like another season or another 2 seasons. Like, she's probably locked in for a period of time.
Wait, so I'm confused about the 3 special deal. So do you think that that is dependent on her staying with Atlanta?
Yeah, they that probably
she got that. They connected it. Is that possible?
Yeah, for sure. That was like part of her contract. You know, in order for her to sign, like she probably was, you know, there was probably just like a lot of different negotiation going back and forth, and to keep her on the show, because they absolutely would have like done anything to keep her on the show, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, giving her her own specials, and then like probably like saying like, oh, this could lead to a spinoff, and then it would just be you. So she's definitely going to be coming back. I like there's no way that they would have given her three specials if she wasn't locked in for the next season already.
What do you think the future of Atlanta looks like next season?
I don't know. I hope they do a real big reboot. They need to get rid of more than half the cast. I love Marlo. Marlo can stay in her position now, or if they give her a Peach, I would love that too. Kenya, I'm kind of done with her. I'm done with Candy. I'm done with Cynthia. Yeah.
What? Wait, yeah. What? Wait, if you say you want to keep Drew and get rid of Candy, we're going to have a conversation.
No, she's not good either.
Why do you want to get rid of Candy? Tell me. You need to break all this down. Why get rid of Kenya? Why get rid of Candy?
I think she's just, like, kind of boring. She, like, I don't know. She's just, there's not a lot of her own drama that goes on. She just sort of, like, goes in on other people's drama or discusses other people's things. Like, I don't know. I'm not really like that excited about the stuff that's like going on with her. I don't know. I just like, I'm not that drawn to Candy. I think that she's run her course on the show.
Wow.
They need someone who, she has too much pull as well. And I think that she does a little bit too much producing. Cynthia is the same for me. I just think also that they need to get the women a little bit more on the same page age-wise. They need to, like, age up or age down. They need, but they can't. It's just so, you know, like, aunties and nieces. Like, that's just, like, I don't know. I wouldn't be, I don't hang out with women who are, you know, in their, like, late 50s. And I'm in my 40s. Like, it's just not. I don't know. And I don't hang out with women that are in their like 20s. It's, well, I guess sometimes I do. but for the most part, I don't.
We're talking.
But like, you know, it's just like, it's just, they're not, it just feels so far away from what it was initially, which was like these women who were in this social circle that actually knew each other. It's just, it's not, it's gotten so far away from that. It's just like, now it's just like women who are cast onto this show to do this thing. And it just doesn't feel at all organic. And it's has lost, you know, the funny. I would love for Sheree to come back. I also think that they need a messy white girl like Kim. Like, I think that they need something like that, or like an Asian woman. Like, you know, I think that that would be interesting to see, because it was great when Kim Zolciak was on. Like, she brought a lot of mess. And, you know, when they were like, they had women on who were like actually like, you know, married to like football players and things like that. Like, it's, I'm fine with like it being like such a like a secondary, like the men aren't that involved, or they are kind of involved, but they're not the main thing. Like, it's the women who seem to be like the breadwinners in this, these situations. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm just, I got really bored. It fell off a lot. I weirdly missed Nene, even though Nene was so awful last year. I did miss her. Because she always at least spiced it up, you know? She was really negative toward the end, but she was really, like, going through something. I mean, she still apparently is. I mean, I don't really know what's going on with her. And she's, like, for some whatever reason, decided to burn those bridges at Bravo, which
very
is
publicly
really stupid.
I think she has a lot of anger. She has a lot of anger about being devalued. And there's some elements of that where I get it, where I think she's right. I just, it was painful for me to watch it play out so publicly, because I was concerned about the burning bridge of it all. that was concerning to me. When it came to like married football players, though, Portia's the only housewife that I remember who was married to a football player. I think when it came to people,
Lisa Wu Hartwell.
Yeah,
and her Lisa ex Wu. Was Keith Sweat.
Oh my God. And not just Lisa Wu, but
Deshaun.
What's your thank you so much?
No, wait, was he basketball?
So you're really going. I don't sports to me. It's all the same.
And
there was Sheree. A ball involved.
Sheree.
And Sheree. Just kidding. Just I'm completely full
and
of shit.
Ultimately, Kim Zolciak.
All right. So seven people. So I was like, you only thought of one. And then you said, here's 16 examples specifically. And I can give you their marriage certificates as well if you would like. Also their contracts with the NBA and NFL. Yeah, that would be interesting to me. But I don't need another Kim. I think one Kim is enough for a lifetime, but I do understand.
She was so good, though, and she was, like, sitting in her car playing her song for Sheree and had a glass of wine in the car, a glass of wine and a cigarette. The only housewife that openly smoked on the show. The only one.
I loved it.
There's been a couple where, like, you see them having a cigarette and it's, like, kind of hush-hush, and they're, like, it's just in a really stressed-out situation where they don't give a shit that the camera's there right then. Mm-hmm. But Kim, every episode, was smoking. That was iconic. So
remember when Kim had that not plastic surgery, but the like the muscle fat stuff done, and she was eating a Domino's pizza while doing
it? Yeah. She was getting infrared whatever done for her cellulite. I mean, she was really a ridiculous person and like a character, and so was Nene and Sheree. You know, Marlo to me is like that, and Portia is like that. Drew is not like that. I don't think Candy is like that. Cynthia has been boring to me for a long ass time. But the only good thing about Cynthia was that she was sort of like the connection with everybody, you know, like she was like everyone seemed to be on good terms with Cynthia. So she was sort of like the linchpin for a while.
But don't you think that we need, or that Atlanta, when there are so many characters, there can't be only characters, right? Like, I think that the Candy of it all is like, I don't know, like a slice of lemon in a tall glass of seltzer. Like, you need to have a little bit. There's so much bubbles that you need to have something to cut into this a little bit. And I do think that she can be explosive. But I think there's something powerful in someone sometimes observing what's going on.
I really do think that at some point they have to be put out to pasture when they've been on the show for too long and they're a little too in on it and they're a little too producey and they, you know, manipulate situations and they're used to the fame and they're used to fan reactions and they're calculated and they know how things are going to be looked at or interpreted. I like when they are not self-aware. I like when they are not in touch with like what they're saying or doing. Like, for instance, like Ramona to me is someone who is totally not self-aware. She's not in on the joke. I think she just sort of like, she's just id. So she just like kind of just goes with her gut. And I think Portia is actually the same way. Like, they're just going with their gut, and Candy and like maybe Cynthia and certainly Kenya are a little bit more cerebral and are like, you know, calculated and planning these things out, where to the point that it's like, just not like I can see through it. So I don't like it. You know,
that's so interesting to me, and a historic moment. The first time that Portia and Ramona have been put in a similar camp. Something for me to consider and think about and reflect upon.
Yeah.
For years to come.
Well, and I think that Teresa Giudice is in that camp, too, of someone that's like not. I mean, she doesn't even watch the show. So and
she doesn't watch the show. That's part of her, honestly.
I know.
I love that journey for her.
I know. And it's like she also doesn't have any idea how she comes off. So, and she's not really thinking about optics really ever. So for me, she's like an OG that can stay, that can, you know, still bring it, because they're not so aware of the cameras, are not so aware, like they're still being themselves, you know, no matter what.
I mean, Ramona calling, correcting her earlier version of saying the help and saying hospitality assistant. And Ramona, which was so quick, and
it was good.
Honestly, I laugh my ass off.
I know, that was
every
good.
Time I think of it, I laugh so hard because the look in her eyes, she was like beep beep, like completely direct. Got it. But don't you think Ramona, as the apologizer, is a vehicle that exists purely because of her possible understanding that optics exist? She doesn't get how to change her behavior based on optics, but she will apologize immediately with fervor as often as she possibly can to
I feel like she does that in
her
real
behavior.
Life when there's no cameras. Yeah. I feel like she's constantly putting her foot in her mouth and saying something nasty, like whether it's at a PTA meeting or whatever it was, and then has to apologize immediately. So I don't think, you know, obviously she's like getting a lot of plastic surgery, and she looks incredible.
She looks incredible.
Incredible.
They all do on New York, honestly. These women
they
look
do.
Incredible.
They do. They are quickly becoming one of the hottest casts. They really are.
Luann is sex
Luann,
on ice.
Oh my God.
I am so into her. Luann
her
and that
bod
green dress on
is...
Wendy Williams, unbelievable. And her face.
Oh my God. She's
Ramona
great.
Looks incredible. All of Ugh. These women do. Sonia, incredible.
Ebony
I love
is
Schnoz.
Beautiful.
Ebony's gorgeous.
Leah,
pretty.
Of course.
They're all beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's just like to watch Luann become more and more stunning as the years go on. It's just like way to make me feel fucking terrible. Number one.
No, I that makes me feel good. It's like, okay, it doesn't have to be over, you know, like aging.
God,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you can still like you don't peak at 35. Like I feel like she's probably 100%. Like peaking now. I bet that she looks better now than she did at 35.
Well, we know it. We've been watching her. She's in her mid-50s. We've been watching her since her maybe like early 40s, maybe. I don't know. Math is hard, but maybe I am like Cam. Yeah, I think she's just becoming – they're just so stunned. It looks like they're glowing. These women look like they are fucking aglow.
Yeah.
And it is wild to see. What are your thoughts on New York so far this season from what we've seen from two episodes?
The second episode I found boring. I'm excited for the Heather fight. I'm excited for, you know, some of the things that are coming up. It's New York, so it's always going to have something to offer. Like, Ramona's always going to say something. Luann's always going to say something. The fact that they're staying at Ramona's house for, like, 5 days in a row or something.
5 days.
That's incredible. That's that a lot of shit's going to go down. That's incredible. And I, you know, I have to say, I was getting kind of like tired of Sonia for a while. And now she's back in the house. And I am like, as frustrating as it is, I still want to see what the hell's going to happen. Like, why won't she sell that goddamn house? Like, why won't she just like let it go? Like,
she wants to. Nobody will buy it. She's desperate to sell it.
Because she won't cut the price. Like, she will not. She shares a wall with a parking garage. It's not, like, the best, you know?
I mean, I think she has cut the price a couple times, but nobody's willing to buy it.
What is it now? Or what has she cut it to? The last I saw,
it
was, like,
I think it's
it was,
dollar.
Like, $11 million, and then she cut it to $9 million, and then she wouldn't go lower than $9 million.
I mean, is this a good time to tell people to join the Patreon? Maybe we can buy an Andy Scrolls clubhouse next to a parking garage on the Upper East Side. I don't know how much the house is currently being offered at, but I know it's significantly less than it was when it first went on sale. Okay, now it looks like it's at, I don't know, this is as, oh, it was at one point 10.75. And then 8.75, it looks like she took off $2 million in a quote-unquote COVID discount in a year. Okay. So she went from 10.75 in March of 2020 to 8.75 in September of 2020. I mean, $2 million is a significant cut.
It is.
But
and people
nobody's
still don't
gonna,
want it. You know why? Because there's probably, well, because it's right next door to a parking garage. I'm curious, like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of work that has to be done to it, I'm sure. I mean, the kitchen is so outdated. It's like so early 90s.
And she's put in money. She's put in money to get it into a place where they could even get people to want to rent it long term, which I think is what she would have continued to do, except COVID happened and nobody is necessarily interested in a long term stay, or wasn't certainly during the time in which New York was shot, you know, looking to spend $30,000 a month. It just wasn't it wasn't going to happen. It's just not. It's the real estate market in New York during 2020 was real, real rough. It still hasn't rebounded. You know, we're still going through it. So,
yeah.
I mean, 8.75, I don't know what a deal is. I do love $1 million listing, but like, I don't know what a deal is for a townhouse on the Upper East Side. She does have that beautiful back area.
Yeah, but the garage is right next door.
Yeah, but the garage is right next door. I mean, it sucks because this is like her biggest asset that she still has from the divorce, and yet she's not able to cash out. And
I mean, she had a bunch of other assets and she kind of blew it when she got involved in the movie industry.
Yeah, the chateau in France would have come in handy right about now. I have to say that she had to sell to pay.
Oh my god, you can book an open house. You can book a house tour. Let's book a house tour.
Do it right now. Book a house tour. What are we doing?
An in-person house tour.
With who?
The real estate agent.
I would be into that.
Yeah.
Do they? But you know how with some fancy stuff, they like have to confirm that you're a real buyer. Do we think that Sonia's person is doing that? Yeah.
I mean, I own my house.
Oh, do it. Please do that. Can you please set that up for us? And I'll be recording the entire time. I would be very into it. Can I get your thoughts on the Heather and Leah of it all? Why is this happening? Why does Leah feel like she needs to stand up for the people in the cast she doesn't actually like against Heather? Why is that?
I think she just doesn't trust her, because, and I get it. Like, I wouldn't trust someone that was, you know, telling tales out of school like that. I guess it's like, don't talk about like shit that goes on when the cameras are down. And that's kind of like what Heather had been doing on her podcast. So, and Heather doesn't really like Ramona or Luann. Like, she's, you know, said as much, definitely does not like Ramona. So the fact that she would go on the show again is like, just proves that she's just a total phony, just looking for a paycheck, just looking to get back on the show.
Is there an AG slid into my DMs, and I'm so sorry I don't have your satchel in front of me right now, but I'll get into it on Patreon. Is there a world in which some of this animosity towards Heather comes from like the business side of it all, the like streetwear competitive spirit, except, you know, Heather did work with like P. Diddy and huge stars and creating brands, and there's some sort of competitive spirit from that end? Or do you think that's
not
related to this?
Mm-mm,
I think it's
related at all.
Focused?
Yeah, I do. I think it's all about, I think that Leah is like pretty secure in her place in things like that. But I think that, you know, she is just like, who is this like phony that's like coming on? And
that's interesting.
I mean, we have to see like how it unfolds or like what exactly happens. But that's, you know, kind of what she said was the reason. And I believe it, you know.
That's so interesting. I didn't think of it from the sense of like, why is this person participating on this thing that she has said explicitly she doesn't like? I mean, I think that's a really valid point. It would be like Carol coming back this season.
Exactly.
Like, what are you doing? You've said so many times how fake this is and how phony this is. Why are you coming back? I don't have an answer for that, which is my favorite thing. Like, that's a really interesting point. Why is Heather coming? Heather doesn't like the show. I'm happy she's coming back in whatever role. It sounds like it's going to be pretty short, but
yeah.
Why do you think she is coming back? Do you think she misses it?
I mean, probably misses the like the boost it gave to Yummy Tummy or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yummy Tummy.
You know, I bought a slip from that was Yummy Tummy. It just happened to be on sale at like Nordstrom or something. And it was very, very comfortable. It's a very nice material. It's like a full body. It's like, you know, it cover, it, you know, it covers
like a una, a leotard, not a leotard.
Yeah. No, it's like a slip, like a... but like, it's like a, almost okay. Like a mini slip. Like it covers my boobs. And then also it's like short. It's not, doesn't go all the way down.
Oh, got it. Got
you know
got
what
it.
I mean? So, but it's really nice. It's nude colored and it's nice.
I mean, I do know that she, I don't think she's any longer affiliated with the company, but I she's do not? Think that, I think she sold her stake in it. I think I could be completely wrong, but I do believe that Heather is such a smart business person that it's so unsurprising to me that, you know, her work, shall we say, is of a high quality, because she does seem like someone who knows what it is that she's doing, like genuinely, definitely well. Switching gears a little bit, Jersey.
Mm.
Thoughts on this season? Thoughts on Joe and Melissa? Talk about traditional values. I love this season.
I really love this season. I really, I mean, it started off explosive.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and just like, oh my God, the fight, when it was one of, I love a fight at a table when there's more than one fight going on at a time.
Yes.
That's just like the best. And that happened.
Chef's kiss.
And then when Melissa threw the cheese and then immediately started cleaning up the cheese while she was still arguing, like it was just so good. And then like Jackie falling apart and all of Dolores's surgeries, and Dolores really came out of her shell a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really like this season. So yeah, I mean, I think they're going to add someone probably for next season, but like, I think this cast is so good.
So
I really
good.
Like the way they are together. I'm glad that we got to meet Teresa's boyfriend by the end.
Mm-hmm.
I do think she's, I thought it was interesting at the end of the season when, you know, they have the cards at the end about like what they're doing in their life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that Teresa and her boyfriend bought an investment property together, but it looked like a house that they're moving into. Have you seen the house that she bought?
Yeah, it's like this. It looks very similar to her current house, although I know nothing about it.
Probably
houses.
Built better. It looks a little bit more like Melissa's definitely house.
Okay, got it.
Because Teresa's house is a mess of all the different window sizes and
mm-hmm.
like the weird columns great. And shit like that. But I think that so I don't know if they're just like bullshitting about the investment property thing. I think that is entirely too fast. They have not known each other for a year. She has small children. Like she has girls, you know, to move them into a house with boys. Like, I don't know. Like they think it's going to be some kind of Brady Bunch thing. And, you know, it might not be that. It's just, you have to be careful with that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. Also, I heard a rumor.
Yeah, tell me.
That, and I don't know if this is already like online or whatever, that he left someone for Teresa. And he left the person that he was with before Teresa. He had left his previous partner for that person. So, you know, it's a whole like you lose him how you got him situation. So like that kind of colored things differently for me, you know, that's a red flag to me.
Do you think he is interested in being on the show? Or what's the feel on this guy? And are his intentions pure? Like, regardless of how he, you know, got this relationship going, or do you think that his intentions are pure as they could possibly be, all things considered?
I think that he is very interested in being on the show, and I'll tell you why. I don't think that a guy gets that much Botox if they're not interested in the spotlight. You know what I mean? So I think that he's probably interested. And I mean, to go on the shows, I mean, they were only together for a few months. And mm-hmm. and Teresa was saying like, yeah, I'm taking it slow, blah, blah, blah. But then bought like a, what, like $8 million house or $5 million house with him, like almost immediately.
Three.
It was only three. And she can't unload that other house.
I mean, that's the thing is like, we're really going to double down on house purchases right now and you haven't gotten rid of the first. I mean, I don't know her financial situation. I know that she's like making bank with Housewives, but I am nervous when it comes to the, you know, relationship roles, traditional nature, and also interest in being on TV. Where do you find yourself watching the Melissa and Joe of it all? How do you feel about the ways that they've explored their dynamic this season?
I mean, she's come a long way since she wrote about marital rape being acceptable in her book, Love nice. Italian Style.
What a mess.
I think that she's had a lot of growth and she's experienced the world a lot more. And, you know, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy for him. Like, he thinks she's going to, like, leave him behind. I don't even necessarily know if it's, like, traditional roles. I think maybe it had been at some point, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think with him, it's, like, total insecurity. Just like he's like, it was great when she wanted me to come with her and she wanted me to like be at things with her. And he just like he doesn't want her to be out without him. And it just seems like he is like that seems like pathetic to me. I don't know. Annoying.
I mean, it is interesting that it's like a discussion amongst the group about hyper traditional roles and gender norms, and yet you could not be in a less traditional environment, which mm-hmm. is talking about your marriage and relationship surrounded by cameras for reality TV. So is the environment itself, is it even possible to discuss maintaining those kinds of traditional roles when the dynamic is so antithetical to that, in the sense that like the wife is the star of this show, not the husband. It's not a story being told through his eyes. He is always going to be second banana on Housewives because he is not the housewife and he is not the star, you know? So I wonder how much of this is him battling the fact that he understands that when it comes to New Jersey, like as in Real Housewives of New Jersey, Melissa is of more value and interest. It's really Melissa's story that's primarily supposed to be told.
Yeah, but he has a big part in it.
He does have a big part of it. He's more important.
More than any other husband.
Than any other husband. And more understood or watched or valued. Jersey values the stories and participation of the husbands more than any other franchise. Absolutely. And a lot of that can come with a positive light. Teresa went on Watch What Happens and said that what she thinks the answer to this is involves Melissa being more attentive and affectionate, like outwardly affectionate with Joe. Like she said that that's sort of how they were raised. That's what he's interested in. That's the way to kind of calm him, is to just give him a lot of affection so that he's able to kind of calm down. Is that, do you think, accurate?
Oh no, I feel like she's like pretty affectionate with him. I mean, didn't they like fuck in a bathroom, like on a, like a boat stop, and when they were in the Dominican Republic? Remember that? They stopped the boat on like an island to like, it was when Caroline was still on the show, and they stopped the boat on an island to like have like a campfire, whatever. Like they took the catamaran out and then they like went and got changed into different outfits and they like had sex in the bathroom. Like he just like, it kind of grosses me out how he just like constantly just like always wants to have sex. Like he like demands it every single day and it's like, go jerk off, just go jerk off, you know.
he's got that poison, he needs to release it, and the
only
way
to release it, he's so needy. That to me is like a huge turnoff, someone that's that needy.
Do you think Teresa's more, well, I mean, I say this, it's, yeah. Do you think that Teresa's more independent than Joe?
Yes, absolutely.
How much of that do you think is related to the lessons that she learned by like going away to camp and the dissolution of her marriage versus just growing and maturing somehow through life? And time,
I think,
rather.
Though, even before mm-hmm. she went away, that she was independent in her own things. Like, she did her mm-hmm. own things, probably because Joe was, her husband Joe was disinterested in doing mm-hmm. things with her because he was busy doing whatever else. And she seemed like she was allowed to, like, have her life and, like, kind of do whatever. And she did. Mm-hmm. You know, she was very involved in, like, being a stage mother to Gia. Mm-hmm. She, you know, had her girlfriends that she hung out with. And I think that that's what seems to be different. Like, Joe Gorga seems, like, really just attached to Melissa. Like, he wants them. Like, the fact that, like, he caused that, like, hissy fit because she walked to the car without him. Like, she walked straight from the restaurant to the car instead of, like, waiting for him. That was, like, such a bizarre fight to me. It was, like, that kind of shit would drive me absolutely crazy. Like, that would cause a divorce. Like, that kind of stuff.
It's wild that their idea of wanting to be really connected to each other, which I do think was a joint idea for one period of time, has become somewhat toxic considering, like, look at the other relationships on New Jersey. Like, I would say that Marge and Joe Benigno,
but I thought that it was Benino. And that's how Benino. You would say it in
Yeah,
Italian.
I think it's Joe Benino. I'm, like, the worst Italian ever. Joe B, Joe the Super, they're pretty connected. Jackie and Evan are pretty connected. Jen and Bill Aiden, a new light of everyone's lives, are pretty connected. Yeah. So what does it say that Joe and Melissa stand out for being, like, the oddity when everybody else, they're all in pretty, you know, 24/7 style, can't stop loving ya marriages.
Yeah, but I don't think that Joe Bonino gives, like, he doesn't give Margaret a hard time about going out and doing her own thing. And I think that Bill probably encourages Jen to get out more because she is probably was so busy with all those kids before. I think that, you know, and it seems like Evan doesn't have an issue. Like, none of these guys have issues with their wives going out and doing things without them. Like, none of these guys have issues with their wives walking to the car without them. It's like Joe's attachment. He's so, I don't know what attachment condition it is, but it's definitely not a good, healthy one.
Bill Aiden, just an absolute mensch. First off, the yellow diamond, wonderful. The presentation of it, wonderful. Jen's reaction is one of my favorite reactions of anything I remember in recent history. The line reading of, like, you've got to be fucking kidding. Whatever the actual line reading was, fucking wonderful. And also Bill, as Joe tried to push back and be like, you're just drunk. But Bill drunk, regardless, saying to Joe Gorga, you need to listen. You're not listening to your wife. Like, you're just, and of course, Joe Gorga isn't able to listen to Bill Aiden saying you need to listen, was like chef's kiss wonderful. Because watching the journey of Bill Aiden from his first season to where he is now has been really, honestly, very enjoyable to see. And it just, like, watching Jen and Bill almost, like, fall in love with each other again, or us understanding a little bit more about who they are as people and how that influences how we think about their relationship, which did initially come off as extremely traditional, has been great. That's been a great evolution.
Well, it's the thing is that, like, I'm not against a traditional kind of marriage where, you know, the woman does, you know, takes care of the house and the kids and the man earns a paycheck. I'm against the idea that the woman, like, wouldn't be able to exist without the man or that she shouldn't exist. I mean, Joe Gorga thinks that women shouldn't exist without a man in her life. Like, he said that Dolores was broken because she doesn't, like, have a marriage or whatever. She's unable to, like, get this guy to, like, commit to her in a marriage. He has just, like, all the wrong ideas about women. So, of course, that's going to cause tension in a marriage where Melissa is, you know, slowly but surely becoming more independent. And, you know, it seems like she's always been smarter than him, too. So, you know.
It feels like Joe attaches the idea of identity to a woman both as a wife, where that is your identity, that is who you are, right? Like, your identity is tied to who I am as your husband and man. And then also attaches the pressure on a wife's identity if the husband isn't happy. So not only are you seen through the lens of your marriage, is it successful, does it still exist, but also if the husband is not, does not feel like his identity is seen, which may be viewed as separate than hers, she doesn't have the benefit of that independence, that she is to blame. Which is a warped,
yeah. In the
warped view.
In Melissa's book, I mean, which is awful, but like kind of like a fun, quick read just to like understand how fucked up their relationship is. He, when they were first married, he made her learn all of his mom's recipes, and he would come home and he would like have a fit if it didn't taste right, if it didn't taste exactly like his mother's, and he would be like an asshole about it. And she like wrote a lot about this, about how she couldn't get the sauce right and all this other stuff. And then he like got mad at her because she decided to get filler in her lips. And then she said she never got it again, which is such bullshit. She absolutely has filler in her lips now. She just like does it in a better way, probably. And also, like, when you first get it, there's so much swelling. So, and then the swelling goes down after like a day or two. But he was like mad because he was like, you messed it up. You messed up your lips and you messed up your face. It's just like that should be her decision. It's her body. Mm-hmm. And he like forbade her from getting it again. So I bet she has to like do it in secret. So there's just, he's just, and also like, listen, didn't he lose his virginity when he was like 9?
It was so, when he said that,
Melissa
God,
knew that he shouldn't say it. Melissa was like, don't say it.
Yeah,
but he was 9 years old, and
so scary.
That
honestly
is, that's trauma. That's trauma. Yeah. Trauma is like when like something is like there's too much too fast too soon. That's too much too fast too soon, and that probably has like there's probably a lot of shit going on there with like, you know, sexuality and his self-esteem is all based on that, which is why he always talks about his dick, which is why he became a stripper. I mean, it doesn't, it's not, you know, it all kind of like, it all kind of comes together, these different pieces of the puzzle to like form this picture of like his, like a low self-esteem that's like based around sexual attention.
And it's so compulsive. It feels like the ways that he looks at Melissa and the responsibility that he assigns to her to be a certain kind of wife or to give him a certain kind of affection feels compulsive. And if your sexual experience was that young and that early, to say nothing of God only knows how old the other person was. I mean, like, it's just a very scary thing to think about.
It had to have been older. How could it not? How could it be a 9-year-old girl? Yeah.
It's honestly terrifying, and it is a way to set into your body and your DNA is an exact reaction of trauma. I'm glad that you said that. A compulsive set of behaviors that are attached to your sexual identity and how you see yourself as a person, and you consider yourself at 8 years old after to be a man. Like, how does he talk to people about that experience? How did he tell people in the years to follow what happened? You know, how was that received? There could have been people who said when they heard that, wow, you're such a big boy, or like, oh my God, that's so, you're just such a yada yada, where you're putting a compliment on a really traumatic event and he's carried that with him, which is a poisonous, to pull from one of his favorite expressions, way to view sex and relationships and possibly love.
It's crazy.
It's definitely tough. I'll say that. I mean, it's a wild way to look at things. And I'm curious to see how this will play out on the reunion. The trailer came out this week. I thought it looked great.
I didn't watch it yet.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's enjoyable. It's actually going to be a 2-part reunion, which was shocking to a lot of people. I think it's going to be a little bit lighter of a reunion, to be honest. Maybe.
There's been a lot of 2-parters lately. When was the last time we had a 3-part reunion?
Was Atlanta 3 parts? It felt like 10.
I didn't watch beyond the first one. I just was so bored with it.
I wouldn't be able, if you said, hey, Sarah, I only watched the first part. What happened during the second? I could not tell you. And I did watch it at least once. And I have no idea what went on.
Was Beverly Hills? I think it's wait, was good. Potomac? Potomac was three parts.
Potomac was three parts. I think Beverly Hills was three part, but also okay. It was, I don't know. I could be complete. I lose everything at a certain period of time. It like,
yeah,
it
you can only, stage you can only left. Keep so much. Yeah.
I can only keep so much, but you know, listen, I got nothing but time. Tracy Morrissey, I'm obsessed with you. Tell me about the pink sweatshirt that you're selling on your fabulous new store that everybody needs to visit ASAP. I'll include a link to it in the show notes for this app. Cool. What's the pink sweatshirt that I'm obsessed with? I just forgot the phrase.
Horrible result of modern feminism.
Yes.
It's embroidered. You can get it as a t-shirt too.
So cute. How did you come up with the idea of pipedreams.fun?
I was trying to make merch for... pot psychology, and I was like, oh, you know, because it's pretty easy with drop shipping and stuff. And then I was like, oh, you know, maybe I should sell some like pipes on here, or, you know, smoking accessories. And then all of a sudden, like, it wasn't really like much of a decision. I just like suddenly like had ordered a bunch of stuff and like was doing a bunch of stuff wholesale, and I did it. So, yeah, I just now got an email saying I was finally approved for Instagram shopping, which I'm so excited about because that
that's great.
Was really hard to do. God, like Facebook and Instagram are really, really difficult to navigate. Like the business manager, I don't know if anybody knows how to use business manager, please contact me. My email is TracyEganMorrissey@gmail.com. I will pay you to help me do this because it's so time consuming, and I don't know what I'm not a developer. So I don't know what I'm doing. I don't understand how they allow, like, I don't understand how this is like their business model is like getting all these small business people to do this. Cause you really do need to be on Facebook and Instagram to like make money.
Wow.
And, it's so confusing. It is so confusing. And I keep getting in trouble and they keep disabling things. Cause I keep messing up. So if anyone wants a summer internship, part-time job, please contact me.
Yeah, guys, job availabilities. Yeah. Listen, it's like a little bit of Craigslist, a little bit of Annie's Girls. I'm very into it. So it's a little bit of it's big LinkedIn energy, and I'm here for it. Tracy Morrissey, tell the people how to listen to the amazing pods that you work on, produce, host, and how to follow you online.
I produce the B-List and Pot Psychology. They're both available wherever you listen to podcasts, and I am Tracy Morrissey. At everything, it's Tracy with an IE.
And guys, I have been on the B-List before, hosted by friend of the pod, Pet Shop Boy. It is so much fun. You have to listen. Die for Pot Psychology. Die for Tracy Morrissey. If you're not following her online, this woman has gone viral how many times? Like 30? The Jamila Jamil alone is...
Do I sell Jamila Jamil sweatshirt or t-shirt? Both.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't call it that. It's called Peas and Bees. There's a bunch of bees swirling around her head and she's holding a bag of frozen peas. It's based on a red carpet photo where she literally went on a red carpet and held a bag of frozen peas because she had just had dental surgery. So it's an airbrush t-shirt. It's an airbrush of that image.
And have you heard from Ms. Jamil since this went for sale?
I have not, but I wanted to point out that 10% of the proceeds from those shirts go to the Bee Conservancy, which they provide materials for bees hives and honey raising for underserved communities and like education tools for schools. So they'll like establish a beehive and then the kids learn how to take care of bees. You know, bees are dying globally at an alarming rate. And so we're going to help repopulate the earth with bees with this shirt.
Protect the stinger is all I have to say. Hashtag stinger for life. I am team bee and I am team be strong or whatever else. I don't know what to say. Guys, if you're not following me on Instagram, what the hell is wrong? At Dame Galley, so much. So many posts this week about Dallas and other stuff. There's just too much even for AG Classic. Speaking of, Patreon episode went up an hour long. I talked about the Beverly Hills taglines. I talked about Bethany's HBO show, which is a mess. I talked about so much more. And there's a new Patreon episode coming soon. So patreon.com/AndyScrolls, the number one way to start. The number one way to support the show starts at $2 a month and goes up from there. You get exclusive bonus episodes, invites to special events, and can even co-host on an upcoming Patreon app. Guys, die for you. Stay safe. Get vaccinated. Tracy Morrissey, come back tomorrow. Can't wait to do our house tour. Full house, big house energy. And I will talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.